have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Speakers are asked to refrain from abusive or profane remarks, disruptive outbursts.
See, that's the problem. Your forked tongue gets you in trouble.
If you don't know who I am, close your mouth. Something's going to fly in your mouth.
You're going to have to be quiet when I'm talking. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do the insubordination.
This is not transparent, open government.
I have never said you were psychotic, though you may be.
I don't know that I care for the narrative.
Well, Stephen, I certainly didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anybody else's, or to imply that any one of us is not doing
I'm not a maiden who needs to be saved from my feelings.
Wonderful, thank you.
Love can touch us one time and last for a lifetime.
If I can, I'm sorry, boy. In fairness to the buyer, they're not here because all you're supposed to be doing tonight is scheduling these public hearings for August.
But it can still go back to the planning board.
That is a vote that I highly recommend you not take until the actual scheduled public hearing time. I would highly recommend you not do a vote.
We're also talking about a time crunch, right?
Yeah, that's...
That's why I think we should probably send it there now.
So, Allison, I want to say... What we're trying to do is schedule the public hearing so we can ask these questions in a public forum.
Correct. And the buyer can be here to represent their perspective. And you've got other issues going on. These are not all OLFA.
But what's the legal position, Allison? Can he send it back legally? It's black or white. Can he send it back legally?
Legally.
Or can he not send it back?
So it helps to know specifically which planning layer you're talking about, but legally they can all be remanded back to the planning board, but I would recommend you only do that as a vote of the board at the actual public hearing for that item.
I think at this point in the meeting, Allison Rogers, the county attorney, has told them like 7 or 8 times, don't do this tonight, schedule the public hearing for OLF 8 for August 6th, and then at that meeting, if you want to send it back to the planning board for reconsideration or to perform other services, do so. But the applicants are not here. This wasn't noticed as a public discussion. It's just scheduling the hearing. And yet this happens all the time. We're scheduling a hearing for the future on the topic, and then we wind up arguing about the substance of the thing in the time when it's not really the time for that. I don't know why we even have to have these votes, honestly. Can't they just put it on the agenda? I guess it's... You know, some kind of public notice. So I guess it's required, but it doesn't seem like there should even be conversation about these things. It's just a hearing. But yet Steven Stroberger, who says, I want the planning board to look at this again because they've had people express regret about the vote to approve the requested changes to the OLF 8 deal. And as far as I know, he said there's 2 have expressed, and I only know of 1. As far as I know, out of the 5 people who were there to vote, 2 people also were not there. 1 voted against, 4-1, Jonathan Owens. And then 1 other person went on Channel 3 and said they regret their vote or would reconsider their vote. That's still not enough to get a majority to vote differently. But okay, they want to send it back. The whole issue here is do the hearing. Hear from both sides. Let the applicant come, then vote to send it back. Don't do it prematurely. It's a violation of procedure, and also you open yourself up to litigation because the legal risk of not acting in good faith, basically, as the other side of the deal. Stephen Berry.
We, in my opinion, we can't send it back tonight. You need to schedule a public hearing. If you want to send it back to the public hearing, send it back at the public hearing.
Right.
Right now, the item's not on the agenda. The item on the agenda is scheduling a public hearing.
Right.
That's not the same thing. We've only heard whether I agree with... Madam Chair can manage the audience, but...
Control these people who can't control themselves.
So we haven't heard... They did spend 7 or 8 hours at the planning board. I presume that the applicant has information that they would like to present. There's another side to the discussion.
Right.
No matter whether that side is here this evening or not, the item on the agenda was to schedule a public hearing. If at the public hearing we decide to remand it back to the planning board for X, Y, or Z issues, okay. But that's the appropriate setting to do it, not this evening.
100%. I don't often get to say Stephen Bear is 100% right. He's 100% right. This is crazy what they're talking about doing. Mike Kohler.
Mr. Bear, can I just make a comment? Because I agree with what you said, but at the same time, I think it's kind of unfair to Chad Anderson if we come here to August 6th to send it back when we know we're going to send it back today, if that's really where the board's at.
It's less unfair than doing it when someone's not here.
Yes. And I get Mike's point. He's like, if we're all agreed that we're going to send it back to the planning board, why would we make them go through this kabuki theater exercise of showing up on the 6th? Why don't we just do it? And, you know, Stephen is like, well, yeah, but it's even worse to do this in their absence when we haven't even told them this was a possibility.
There's three of you. Hey, Mike, there's.
Please stop. That is your first warning. I will ask you to leave for the next three of you.
Y'all do whatever you want to. I'm just saying, I mean, like I said, I didn't say anything for a very long time. Y'all do whatever you want. But I've stated my opinion.
Right. I mean, you have the power to do something that the lawyer's telling you shouldn't do, but don't do it.
If three of you want to do whatever, do it. If, in my opinion, if we're going to remand it back to the planning board or do whatever, we should do it at the time that the meeting is scheduled. And at least, is it unfair to bring somebody to a meeting on the 6th if you think you're going to remand it back? I don't know, but I think it's less unfair than doing it without them having any idea that that's a possibility.
That's exactly right. Now, Ashley is on the side of listening to the lawyer and also agreeing with Stephen Bear, which is a rare thing these days. But she's saying the same thing, like, wait till the public hearing. So you got Steve Stroberger wants to send it back now. Lumen wants to send it back now. Mike Kohler is kind of squishy. I'm not quite sure what he wants to do exactly. We'll come back to this in just a second. I still cannot believe this took 70 minutes to resolve. This one dumb little question, which should have been able to be resolved in the first minute when Allison Rogers told them what to do, which is go to the hearing. But okay, we'll come back to it because this is your county commission. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash with roadblock, Pensacola Boulevard to West Hanna Street. Just use caution through that area. Also have a object in the roadway, Gulf Breeze Parkway at Beaver Pond Road. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to the county commission debating for 70 minutes. Whether to do something that night when it's only supposed to be the scheduling of the public hearing, which is a pure formality, and instead they've turned it into this big thing. Stephen Berry.
The heart of a lot of the criticism is a want to not have anything happen. You understand that, right? Mm-hmm. There is a contingent of folks that would like the property to stay as it is now. Because
I've heard it. I've heard them say, give it back to the Navy.
Yeah, I mean, that is, and no one's going to admit that publicly. But we would be naive to not understand that that is a component because, you know, if you can continue blowing up, you know, this discussion or that discussion and just fast forward 10, 15 years, nothing happens out there, that's great.
Well, this is my own observation.
That he's right. There are some people, I don't think they're the majority, but there are definitely some people who are perfectly happy having it be a fenced off and unused green space forever. And so they are acting like they have reasons, but what they really want is for nothing to happen. And they'll keep trying to blow up every meeting by pushing it in some other direction or complaining about this or that. Now, I don't think the serious actors are in that category, but I think some people are.
You know, the concern about data centers out there, I mean, you're talking about a product that utilizes a tremendous amount of our infrastructure, of our natural infrastructure. You know, whether you're talking, I mean, you know, even if they're paying for the power is still, you know, produced in some way. So the water obviously with data centers isn't,
because that's been rolled into this conversation.
Eats up a lot of land, so utilizing dirt, utilizing water, utilizing power.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you're paying for the power, you're still pulling out of the grid, and you're ending up with a product that has a couple of engineers and a half dozen security guards. I mean, you know, we end up with no job creation. That's not, you know, there's nobody on this. We don't have to violate the sunshine law to understand this. There's nobody on this board that's going to support data centers on OLF-8. It's a utilization of huge acreage.
It's prohibited already. Everybody knows that, right?
But it's, you know, no one up here is going to support that.
And he's totally right. There's no revenue from it. Well, there's property tax revenue from it, which is worth talking about. But we'll cover that tomorrow. The data center thing was its own special fight. But he's saying that, look, this has become the weirdest of fights because people are throwing all kinds of smoke around and none of it has anything to do with the substance. But again, the issue is not that. The issue is it's just scheduling a hearing.
If the property tax language passes in November, I mean, to me, it's the lowest ROI to a developer, single-family residential on the property. It's the lowest ROI to a developer. It's certainly the lowest ROI to us as well. And if the property tax measure passes, it's going to basically be no ROI to us.
That's a great point. If we let them build a bunch of houses and houses have $250,000 of homestead exemption, guess how much we make? Well, not much. That's also a very good point. Steve Stroberger talking to Allison about whether it's legal for him to send it back to the planning board immediately.
Allison, during the weekly, I asked you and I told you this is what I wanted to do. And you said you can do that.
I asked you about this in our weekly meeting and you said I could do this.
But you didn't recommend me not doing it.
I thought you meant at the public hearing. This is not the public hearing. This is just scheduling the public hearing. You absolutely can legally remand the matter to the planning board. My recommendation is that you do that during the actual public hearing, which would be on August the 6th.
Exactly, and that's like the eighth or ninth time she's said it to them. And I'm, you know, I can understand he might have might not have asked a clear enough question. She might have given him an answer that he wanted one answer and she was saying something else. And then Lumen May, who just wants to let her have it over her not telling him he can do what he wants when she's been abundantly clear. You have the power to do something that I recommend you don't do because it creates a problem for you.
Because the attorney is saying procedurally we're wrong. And so, listen, I'm good with sending it back if the attorney is going to put her license on the line to say that we're not going to be in litigation. Well, somebody should. I mean, we pay them. I mean, that's what she get paid to do. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm not a lawyer.
I don't think she needs to do that.
She does.
Why does she need to put her license on the line to tell you yes or no to do it? She's already told you it's a bad idea, even though you're allowed to do it. It'll cost you legal jeopardy if somebody ever sues. How is this hard to understand, Lumen?
How many more shade meetings we gonna have? She has to do that. You pay an attorney to advise you to take their legal advice. Yeah, and if she's not gonna give us legal advice, then
you just said Commissioner May.
She gave it.
You know what I wanted to do.
You didn't go to law school.
Hey, Commissioner May.
I mean, I don't even know if you even dated a lawyer. I mean, and that's fine. I would, but I'm gonna have the lawyer on record tell me because if we end up in litigation, I'm gonna look back. She probably will be gone, but I mean, I'm gonna look back on the lawyer.
Because she's retiring.
To say, what was your advice?
And Mr. That's May, clear she to just me. Told me we can do it.
She's told me the same thing.
Well, she's not saying it publicly. I mean, I like you. I want to take you on a date, but I just won't say it publicly. I mean, come on.
I just asked her so. Oh.
Okay, well, you just asked her in your ear. He asked her privately, and I'm asking her publicly. I mean, and so that's the answer. We have to get it from the attorney.
I feel like Allison's been clear. We can, but she does not recommend it.
110%. Thank you, Ms. Chairman.
Yes.
So we can.
That said.
Oh, my God.
Without.
I'm trying to mitigate your risk, but of course you can.
I mean, why does Ashley Hoffberger have to restate the thing that Allison has said at this point again, 7, 8, 9 times in the meeting? How do you not get it? Yes, you have the power to do something stupid. It's not illegal, but it puts you in legal jeopardy if Chad Henderson gets upset and decides to sue you over the process because you didn't operate in good faith. Like, dudes, yes, you can do the dumb thing. And then you always complain about how the lawyers don't keep you out of legal trouble. Well, they're trying to keep you out of legal trouble. God. Anyway, then there was a whole issue. And sometimes I get a little bit so far in the weeds with all this stuff that is it entertaining to follow or not. But there's also a notice requirement. What they wanted to do was force the planning board to have a special meeting. Planning board is going to have a special meeting. Yeah, but the lead time for announcing things that the planning board is going to do is like 6 weeks. It's really long for obvious reasons that they've got people have to be able to be prepared for these hearings. And so Horace Jones is explaining to them that, you know, the public notice requirements mean that you're not going to be able to get another meeting in before the August 6th coming up next week meeting anyway. And so, you know, they ask about the deadline, and the deadline for the September 1st meeting was July 16th. And that the next planning board meeting is October 6th, and they're trying to avoid deadlines that come up in January at this point. But basically they have the staff explain to them, look, your idea to run this fast just doesn't even work. So what do they wind up doing in the end? Well, again, after 70 minutes of not listening to the lawyer tell them exactly what needs to happen, Finally, somebody makes a motion. You know, Steve Strohberger tries to send it back. That dies for a lack of a second. Ashley Hoffberger, all right, what do we got?
Do you have a motion on the table? Is there a second to Commissioner Strohberger's motion?
No, I'm not going to second that, but I will agree that we're not going to wait till October.
Okay, so is there a second to his motion? If there is not a second, that motion falls flat, and someone needs to make a motion for something else that we can vote on.
Steve, I mean, you can make the motion. I'll make a motion to call a special board meeting and to have this at our first meeting in September.
So what they wind up doing... What they wind up doing is agreeing 5-0 to have the August 6th meeting. So this is going to come up in substance next week. And then they plan on sending it back to the planning board. So they are telling the planning board, we need you to call a special meeting at your earliest possible time. And then this is going to all come back again to them, presuming the planning board passes it in September. But why on earth did it take 70 minutes to do that? When the attorney was clear, and again, credit to Stephen Barry and Ashley Hoffberger for getting it. I don't know what Luhmann and Steve Strohberger were doing, and I don't know why Mike was trying to make it so hard, but, you know, again, in the end, they did it okay, but, oh, my God, you wonder why government's inefficient. I mean, here's your prime example. Oh, and this doesn't even get to the data center thing. Tomorrow, we'll deal with the data center discussion was its own special beast, and it deserves its own day. So we'll deal with that tomorrow. 7:24 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you've got a kid who's in school, they're getting ready to go back. You know, August is Saturday. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to drive you off the road. August is Saturday. Like, we're almost August, right? I mean, that's... Anyway, so kids are back to school in like 2.5 weeks. Anyway, if your kid's getting ready for school, you're thinking about it, and they haven't always done great at math, or maybe they have done all right, but you'd like them to do better. Or maybe you just kind of wonder. Mathnasium. Mathnasium is a great way to get your kid ready for the fall, because chances are they haven't been doing math all summer, so they have kind of slipped back in a lot of the things that they have achieved. They call it the summer slide for a reason. 50% of students lose 2 months of skills. But also, there's going to be new things coming up in the fall. And if your kids struggled at all, now is the time to really get ahead and get a grip on it, make sure they're ready. Go at Mathnasium and take a free assessment. It's a test. They figure out what your kid knows and doesn't know, what they can do well, what they can't do well, and they figure out a plan to kind of remedy all that and turn them into the best mathematician they can possibly be, which everybody needs to be good at math. I love Mathnasium. My son taught there for a year. We're good friends with the owners. I believe in the program, and I believe in its necessity, too. And there's state money available, too. Mathnasium, located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport. PJ has traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good. There is a vehicle crash with a roadblock, Pensacola Boulevard to West Hanna Street. Just use caution through that area. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Learning how to deal with criticism is a major part of life for every person. The 26th President of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, helped shed some light on dealing with critics when he said the following, and I quote, "It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, who, at best, knows in the end the triumph of great achievement, and who, at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place will never be with the cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat." Ladies and gentlemen, critics come and go, but I encourage you to continue to dare greatly.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Woo! Summer's heating up and we're smoking at Sonny's. Our new summer menu is hot and your favorite barbecue bowls, they're back. How about our new cherry cola pork burnt ends, some brisket mac and cheese or slider trio, and finish your meal off with some cherry cobbler egg rolls. With 4 locations in the News Radio area, we look forward to slathering you with Southern hospitality. If it's smoking out back, it's Sonny's out front. Don't forget to download your Sonny's barbecue app for sizzling summer deals and rewards. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1, to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
You have to ask me nicely.
A little bit of that French in my modern techno. I'll take it. 728 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The trial of the Massachusetts mom accused of killing her three kids continues today. Lindsay Clancy, she claims she was suffering from postpartum psychosis when she allegedly strangled the 5-year-old, 3-year-old, and 8-month-old in 2023. The U.S. has launched more strikes on Iran. U.S. Central Command said last night the strikes were in response to Tuesday's Iranian attacks on U.S. forces in the Middle East. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is stepping into the kitchen. The Health and Human Services Secretary has a new cooking show that starts today, aimed at teaching Americans how to cook with his agency's new dietary guidelines.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. Somebody had kind of a funny jab about the county commission. They're really earning their $100,000 a year part-time salary. Well, if you have long discussions that produce no result, almost no result, then, you know, you're actually getting paid less per hour. Or you're making it a full-time job. I don't know which way you want to look at this. 7:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Chief Eric Winstrom, Pensacola Police Chief Eric Winstrom. We'll obviously talk about the incident at Cordova Mall, curfews, flock license plate readers, all the time. The incident took place at the Maritime Park with the person rescued out of the water. National Night's coming up. And the July 5th shooting investigation. I have some questions about all of that because I don't know. We'll talk with them about it, of course. We'll learn more about that. Coming up next, after your Fox News and your local news from David Wayne in just a second. I'm Andrew McKay. Thank you so much for listening.
I'm CJ Papa. New way to take the fight to Iran.
The president has been presented an option by the head of CENTCOM to go big and escalate strikes. According to the Wall Street Journal, the idea behind Admiral Brad Cooper's high-end option is to go beyond the smaller retaliatory airstrikes that have done little to deter Tehran from threatening ships in the Strait of Hormuz.
Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House. U.S. forces unleash heavy airstrikes against Iran, targeting IRGC military command centers, plus drone and missile facilities. Republican Senator John Cornyn and Tom Tillis stand in the way of advancing Todd Blanche's nomination to become the full-time U.S. Attorney General out of the Judiciary Committee to a full Senate confirmation vote. The pair want concessions regarding the Trump IRS settlement. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 84 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies. We'll get a look at our forecast here in just a few minutes. Well, Jason Libert takes over as the president and CEO of Pensacola Sports with a clear priority. For his first couple months on the job, he wants to pick the brain of his predecessor, Ray Palmer, before those connections walk out the door.
Ray's got just a wealth of knowledge in the event sports management business. You know, the connections he's made, not only locally, but nationally. That's you know, but for the next 2 months, that's really where I'm going to pick his brain and, you know, learn the ins and outs of the who you know. I mean, any business, it's you know, you got to know your business and what you're doing, but it's who you know. And he was on some national boards.
And Libert says the human connection is what really makes the difference in getting those big events into our area. He served 12 years as the sports director for Pensacola Sports before he stepped away briefly in 2022 to focus on family. He succeeds Palmer now, who's retiring after 25 years of leading the organization. A former Pensacola High School assistant principal has been sentenced to 14 years in prison for child pornography and video voyeurism. 57-year-old Sean Roby was accused of secretly filming a nude 17-year-old girl in her bedroom back in 2019, with investigators later finding more material on his laptop. He faces charges for that as well. He'll also serve 3 years of probation and register as a sex offender. Roby resigned from the school district shortly after that initial arrest. Well, the owner of Tensley Grain in Walnut Hill says the business will rebuild. This is after a fire earlier this week destroyed their office and feed warehouse. Nobody was hurt, but firefighters did have to save a nearby building. The fire is believed to be electrical. Owner Gretchen Wiggins tells Channel 3 operations should resume soon for bulk grain sales. They have to have their scale system inspected. A California semi-truck driver is facing a felony cocaine possession charge after an inspection in Escambia County. 30-year-old Mukesh Mani was stopped after officers noticed his trailer had an expired handwritten tag. A canine alerted officers to a tube in the cab that contained cocaine. Mani was released from jail on $2,500 bond. Well, the tropical weather we experienced last week introduced bacteria into our waters. Those conditions, though, are improving.
Tropical Storm Bertha didn't just churn up rough surf. It also pushed fecal bacteria levels higher at several local beaches, prompting advisories for Quiet Water Beach, Baby Beach, and Park West Soundside. Environmental experts are now saying spikes like this pretty common after heavy rain events. Escambia County's latest tests show that most locations have already returned to acceptable levels. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
And it's 7:35 here, News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with PJ, who's got our traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 both continue to look good. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Navarre, that is flowing smooth. Just one accident on the board, and that is Pensacola Boulevard to West Hanna Street. They're saying there's a roadblock. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
And it is 7:35, 85 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies.
We are going to be dealing with about a 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today. Otherwise, looking at some hot weather with a heat advisory in place with heat index values up to 110. Temperatures near 93 degrees for your overall high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 79. For Friday, 70% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 89 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
85 degrees, partly cloudy. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. A divided Federal Reserve has left its key interest rate unchanged, with three officials voting in favor of higher rates as the central bank wrestles with inflation. Fed Chair Kevin Warsh.
The policy statement conveys just the facts. It's steering clear of forecasting, a choice we consider especially prudent at these uncertain times. Uncertainty, however, does not mean a lack of clarity.
Stocks ended sharply lower after the Fed's announcement. The U.S. economy likely maintained a steady pace of growth in the second quarter. Reuters economists predict that the gross domestic product report will show a 2.1% annualized increase. Yum! Brands reported mixed second quarter results. Net revenue climbed 12% to roughly $2.2 billion, lifted by new restaurant openings. The company provided no update about how the Cyclospora outbreak tied to Taco Bell restaurants is affecting its business. Futures are up this morning, led by Microsoft and chip stocks. That's Your Money Now.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
We need your help.
It's the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon for the Studer Family Children's Hospital.
The 8th annual Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon is Friday, August 14th in the lobby of the Studer Family Children's Hospital, presented by Hanto and Clark. You'll hear stories of bravery and inspiration from local kids and families who've benefited from the care and expertise of the hospital's highly trained physicians and staff.
All the money stays right here.
Gulfwinds Credit Union is matching donations up to $20,000. This year, help us raise funds for the Pediatric Sedation Suite.
Thank you.
special thank you to our champion sponsors, including Florida Power and Light, and our hope sponsors, Stifel, Navy Federal Credit Union, Walmart, and Sam's Club.
You can get more at catcountrycares.com or text KIDS to 850-430-1987.
Proudly supporting your kids at the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You don't need someone yelling at you.
You just want someone to say what you're already thinking.
That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The American people have had enough.
Well, except for white women 55 plus.
There are a lot of white women that lean left.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Thankfully, we know all the sane ones.
MVR. Weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. Joining us by phone, we have Eric Winstrom. He is the chief of the Pensacola Police Department. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So one thing, we had a lot of stuff I want to get to. I want to start with this one. The news this week was that the charges have been dropped against Kanye Walker. He's the, I think, 16-year-old who had been alleged to have supplied the gun to Safford, who fired the first shots in that early morning July 5th incident down on Palafox. What happened here? Why were the charges dropped?
That's more of a question for the state's attorney's office.
Fair enough.
But I'll just say we're in constant communication with them, and we want to make sure everybody has a fair trial that's still pending charges. So there's only so much I can say about it other than they did communicate with us. We worked through this, and I think we're all on the same page, and just part of the court process as more evidence comes out, as more testimony comes out. Occasionally there's changes, and in this case, I think we're all on the same page.
Okay, all right. But you had said, I think, that the case was closed, so this is not about, for his charges particularly, it's not likely to be reopened unless something dramatic happens at this point. Is that right?
That's exactly right. You
okay.
Got it.
I do want to talk about this incident, because I think I get frustrated sometimes, I'll be honest. I get frustrated because when shootings happen and young men, get killed or get hurt, a lot of times the representation of those victims is somebody goes on TV crying about my little angel. And I understand if you've lost a kid or if you've, had a kid injured, I get the emotion. But I think sometimes we're not honest enough about, well, they were involved in a lot of stuff, and they weren't just random bystanders, although some, at least one was. So in this case, as I understand it, you correct me if I'm wrong, we had one person, Safford, who got given a gun and then decided to open fire on the victim, but did not shoot him, missed. His friend then returned fire and accidentally shot the victim and killed him. Then the original shooter gave the gun to the woman who went away with it. That's obstruction after the fact. And then the man who shot his friend and killed him by accident was the one who you tried to serve a warrant on at Oakwood Terrace who took his own life. Do I have any of the facts wrong?
Nope.
Okay.
No. You have a solid understanding. And usually, especially when something happens at a place that's known for tourism and restaurants and stuff, people in the community, they get scared and they look at it as a, it's so dangerous to go to downtown Pensacola. I've had the same thing in the last two cities I worked with. Some big incident happens downtown and people are fearful, like, oh, they're just randomly shooting people. But when you do look at the facts like that, you realize if you're not living this sort of what I would call a high-risk lifestyle, two groups of people came down and they all had guns and got into this. Obviously, they weren't there just to see the fireworks. They were there for other reasons, and they got into essentially a firefight. And so when you look at it that way, when you think, hey, if my, you know, I'm a parent. If my kids aren't living that high risk lifestyle, they're definitely in, you know, much, much exponentially less danger of getting struck by a bullet in the city.
And that's exactly what I wanted to bring up. And of course, all of this is pending a trial. All of this is allegation at this point. I understand that. But what I particularly, I mean, and nobody deserved to die over any of this. But to imagine that this is sort of, you know, one side of bad guys and one side of just pure innocent victims, like you said, they both brought guns to town. They both were there and engaged in a gunfight. This is not, as you say, you know, people just going about their daily lives in low-risk activities. This is people on both sides doing bad stuff, and it escalated to an incident that we all saw. Right? Am I wrong?
No, you're right. And one of the frustrations from the police chief point of view is when something like this happens, everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people turn to you, turn to me as the police chief and say, hey, what are the police doing about this? And I say, we're going to do the following. We're going to respond to crime. We're going to try to deter crime. We're going to investigate crime as we did this. We're going to get answers. But I want to know what everybody else is going to do to make sure that their kids aren't involved in a culture where they feel comfortable going downtown on July 4th, not to see fireworks, but to walk around with a group of friends illegally possessing guns, willing to shoot other people for some sort of argument that, you know, no one could even articulate.
Right. No, I agreed. And I, you know, I think what I also I would love to see is some self-accountability from parents, from community members to say, yeah, they were doing bad stuff and I could have done more. I should have done more, instead of pretending like, you know, there's all kinds of innocence all around when the truth is there's lots of guilt going around before this incident.
Yeah. And if we could, if more people had that serious adult conversations, the safer the city would be.
Yeah, 100%. 7:45 here on News Radio 92.3. We're talking to Eric Winstrom, the chief of Pensacola Police. Hang on just a second, Chief. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with a roadblock, Pensacola Boulevard to West Hanna Street. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Other things that have been going on this week, Chief. You had a rescue of a man who fell in the water while fishing down at near Wahoos, right? Which is kind of a scary thing because that's a big wall. You cannot get back up from that, right?
That's right, and that's exactly what the problem that this gentleman encountered. Fortunately, a lot of people called right away. I wasn't there. I was listening on the radio. Police officers and firefighters responded, and then we had some boats that were getting ready, but I believe some thinking outside the box, I believe by the Pensacola Fire Department, they dropped a long ladder down and held on to it and were able to get him to safety. But he was clinging to, I believe, a chain that was dangling in the water, and very dangerous situation, but had a happy ending.
Yeah, and if you fall over fishing, I mean, I always think it's almost kind of amazing more people don't fall accidentally into the water, because I think of it even like riding my bike over to the Blue Angels show. I'm like, I'm kind of high up, and that railing is kind of low. If my gears slip or something and I press the wrong way, I could go over, you know, like that's, it's kind of amazing. It doesn't happen more often. So thank goodness he was able to be rescued. You had a guy with a mental health episode, I think was the ultimate outcome at Cordova Mall. What took place?
Yeah, I rolled out for that. One of the things, I came from Garden Street and I heard it. It was the call came out as an individual threatening to shoot up the mall and then ran from a mall security guard. You know, the clothing description, I believe he had something that sounded like camouflage pants on and a brown shirt. He didn't appear to be a shopper. He appeared to be in the mall for other reasons, possibly a bulge in his pants, a very scary sounding call. By the time I got there, we had, I mean, there were detectives that I think were typing up cases upstairs in the police department that beat me to the scene. So the response was phenomenal from the police department. Had it been an active shooter incident and an actually armed person, very quick response. I watched the body worn camera video yesterday. Officers got there, they located him, he ran, they were able to capture him, and you know, he made these terroristic threats for whatever reason, and fortunately we did a full search of the area where he, you know, looked at the video, saw which direction did he come from, where did he go, where could he have left the gun. There was no gun. So as for, you know, what the explanation is, I think probably mental health issues is the best explanation, but glad that no one was hurt, and best ending to that sort of call.
And, you know, this was something that I had first heard about on social media, and somebody's like, did you see what's going on at Cordova Mall? And my first, well, let me go check with Mike Wood, you know, and find out what's really going on. Yeah. But, you know, what happens, I think, a lot of times is, you know, we have a perception, and I know Sheriff Simmons likes to talk about this too, that, you know, crime is down. Like, the city is safer. The county is safer than it's ever been. But an incident captures attention, gets repeated 1,000 times. You emotionally live through it. And, you know, that becomes your picture of reality. And then in a case like this, where it's not even the thing that people at least initially think it is, our brains process it as scary event at Cordova Mall. Oh, my God, second time in 2 or 3 weeks. What's going on at Cordova? You know, like that kind of reaction. It's just, it's easy to get into a fear-based mindset about public safety when, you know, the way we react to things and share the information than what actually turns out to be true ultimately, right?
That's right. And then you look at the statistics and you realize how safe it is. And the same thing, you know, when you have a fist fight downtown between two drunken, you know, mutual combatants, and then I get called, chief, you know, downtown's out of control. What's going on? And my question comes up, hey, when was the last time someone got mugged downtown?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I can't even remember. Months ago, maybe a year ago or so. Okay. Well, you know, I've worked in places where people were getting carjacked multiple times a day downtown. So if you fight the battle of the anecdotes all the time, you're never going to win. But if you look at the numbers and say, this is a really safe city heading in that direction, and I'm glad one individual suffering a mental health crisis certainly can scare a lot of people, but all in all, hey, Cordova Mall is a pretty safe place.
Yeah, I used to do a feature on a different radio show. I called it Reverse News, which is whenever I thought a particular story was getting outsized, you know, attention to it, like, well, and today in reverse news, 54,862 Pensacola residents went to work and came home safely. You know, like that's
right. Because
that's the broad
right.
truth,
perspective
right?
Helps it,
and yeah, non-events right. aren't news is the sad thing, you know.
Yeah,
let's talk a little
true.
Bit. Let's talk about the proposed curfew. I know you've been working on that with the mayor. How close are we to a proposal? And, you know, the mayor's talked about some of the shape of this, but I always like to ask whether you are fully on board and think it'll help you in enforcement. Mike Wood said last week that it would, but you tell me, you're the chief.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Having the ability to spot that in the case of July 4th, that 11-year-old in the crowd who's not walking around without a parent, recognizing as a parent, as an adult, that this young person is in a more dangerous situation at 1 o'clock in the morning on July 5th and being able to say, hey, we need to remove him to a safer place. That's a very valuable tool for the police department. And it could be a valuable tool for parents too. Those parents that haven't quite gotten into the groove of being able to hold their kids accountable as much as they should. Maybe having this ability for them to say, hey, I don't want you to go downtown. Also, it's illegal. If that keeps a few kids out of harm's way, a few kids from leading more high-risk lifestyle, that's very helpful. So I think it's going to be a good tool. I think the draft is probably similar to what's on the in state law already, which they kind of make a suggestion for municipalities. If you want to put a curfew in place, this is where you should start. So I don't think it's going to be that controversial. It is going to be helpful, and we're not looking to lock up kids. We're just looking to make a safer community for our kids.
The mayor had made a comment that there was a slice of this that might deal with the parents, that after the warning and then the go to the station and call the police or call the parent and then the ticket and the enhanced ticket for offenders, that there's going to be a slice of this that's going to try to hold parents accountable. Do we know any more about that yet?
I think that's the way it's headed, and that's the language that I've seen from a lot of other jurisdictions around the country. It's not something that, hey, my kids, you know, I got a 14 and 12-year-old. It's not something that if my 14-year-old's out past curfew that I'm going to get arrested. It's something that after the warning, after a second warning, so finally we're going to issue some sort of accountability measure, a civil citation or something. Because really, when it comes down to it, it is a parent's job to hold their kids accountable. And we don't always see that.
I love the mayor's comment that downtown Pensacola is not your babysitter. That was
so true. That's what I felt like July 4th, July 5th. There were a couple times with 500 kids down there. And, you know, even with 50 cops, we just looked around like, this is the biggest babysitting gig in the history of Pensacola. That's what we were doing.
That's true. You have National Night Out is coming up. Next Thursday? Is that right? It's not today. It's right next Thursday?
It is not. It is August 4th, which I believe is Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday, August 4th. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Okay,
5
Tuesday.
5 p.m. down at Booker T. Washington High School in 6000 College Parkway. Down there, 5 p.m., we're going to have police, fire, public works trucks, like a touch a truck event, also a canine demonstration. There's going to be a whole bunch of organizations out there, not only us, but I think our federal law enforcement partners, fire department, obviously, and others. So I'll be down there August 4th. Starts at 5 p.m. I think the canines are going on at probably 5:30 or 6. If you want to just go see them, they're always a big hit. But it'll be a great event.
See all the stuff. Sorry for saying Thursday. You're right. Tuesday, August the 4th at Booker T. Washington at the football fields. And then just the last thing real briefly, we just don't have enough time to get in. The license plate readers continues to be an issue. You know, you and I have talked about this, about the folks who are pushing against it, and are they sincere? Are they reasonable participants, or are they just recycling talking points? I was actually really encouraged that after your comments at the city council, in the next week, it was kind of a deferential, we appreciate Chief Winstrom's, but we seem to have now kind of fallen back on cherry-picking examples from the far-flung regions of the United States as reasons why we shouldn't have flock cameras or license plate readers here in Pensacola. But suffice it to say, you are still personally involved in the permissions. You are still adamant about protecting people's constitutional rights. License plates are not something that is private or require a search because it's in public on a road under the law. And the flock cameras are helping you solve crimes routinely. All of that true?
All of that's true. Yeah. The protections are in place. I get it. I care about, I have a sort of libertarian mindset, and I care about all those things. And this isn't something that's as controversial as saying, you know, facial recognition that's out there and expanding exponentially, which we don't have any sort of active system like the entire country, the United Kingdom, I believe.
Yeah.
So not as controversial as it is, an exceptional tool. And it's always a balance of, I want to be able to tell the family that's a victim of a crime or missing a kid or a elderly Alzheimer's patient, saying we're going to do everything we can and we have the right tools to do it. And then making sure that we're protecting the rights of individuals, their privacy. And like you said, it's wound up in the news. And when it wound up in the news, it's usually when a police officer is getting arrested for abusing it.
Right. Because the process worked.
Holding people accountable. Yeah.
You know, and I'm always a little cautious about engaging in this kind of comment, but I will say it this way. My perception is that the people who are upset about the license plate readers, which are fully legal and do not require a Fourth Amendment search because it's not a search, it's not private, are likely the first ones to whip out their cell phone to video something that they don't like, especially when they see a cop doing it. And I think, interesting.
Without a doubt. Yeah, it's a very strange political conversation because you have those on different spectrums.
But absolutely.
The DSA group, the socialists, they're just not sincere, unfortunately, in their thing, because coming from Chicago and living with a strong Polish community that fled from Soviet Poland.
Yeah.
The socialists love their police. You can't implement a socialist society without a strong, very strong police force willing to take your civil liberties. So it's very insincere. It's all politics. I know I'm used to that, but so it's tough to argue with unserious people because you're not having a real argument.
Yeah, no, I understand. Eric Winstrom, he's the Chief Pensacola Police, as always. Chief, thank you so much for the time and what you do to make our community better and keep us safe. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate you.
All right. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with a roadblock, Pensacola Boulevard to West Hanna Street. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Santa Rosa, I'm Jill Broxton Teston, and I'm running for school board. As a parent of four children in our public schools, I have a personal stake in ensuring every student receives a quality education. Our district faces real financial challenges, and we need creative, responsible solutions that put students first while supporting the educators who help them succeed every day. Together, we can build strong schools, support our teachers, and prepare our kids for the future. I'm Jill Broxton Teston, and I'd be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxton Teston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, they are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
you'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This isn't shouting.
It's conversation.
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays at 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
So, do you date immature men?
Almost exclusively.
I've been running through the jungle. I've been running with the wolves to get to you. To get to you.
Good morning, 7:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Sorry about that. Good morning, gentlemen. The U.S. has launched another round of airstrikes on Iran. U.S. Central Command said those strikes were in response to the Iranian attacks on U.S. forces on Tuesday. The strikes came after President Trump told reporters that the U.S. would be hitting Iran hard over the next couple of days. An Oscar-winning animator and director is safe after being rescued while hiking in Arizona. Crews were called to, apparently they have a mountain named Mummy Mountain near Phoenix.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one, but okay.
Okay, so they were called to Mummy Mountain near Phoenix on a report of a distressed hiker. Turns out it was 72-year-old Glenn Keane. In 2018, he won an Oscar for a short film called Dear Basketball featuring Kobe Bryant.
All right. Thanks so much. Yeah, I get. Oh, okay. It's right next to Camelback. Weird. I was just looking up it on a map, so I've never heard of that one before. And I lived there for 7 years. All right, David, thank you so much for the update. Oh, the Cracker Barrel CEO that was behind the catastrophically stupid rebrand is out, and she's taking her security protection with her as part of the severance package. Keep her safe from all the people that are not happy.
92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio.